Well, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, we want to spend some time just thinking about what God has to say about mothers. And we, of course, we know from the Ten Commandments that God says there that we are to honor our father and our mother. And so whenever God says we're to honor something or someone, it ought to make us sit up and take notice, because there's an implication there that what we're to honor is important. It has great value, significance. And certainly this is true when we think about mothers, because mothers have been given an important role in the eyes of God. And I want to look at that today from God's perspective, how important they are in our lives. Just three things I want to look at today. There's many things we could talk about when we think of moms. But number one is this, and that is that she is a provider. She's a provider. Now, most of us, when we hear that word provider, we may think of who? We may think of the father, right? Because typically, dads are the provider. And even biblically, you can make the case that there's a greater weight that falls upon the man or the husband or the dad to be a provider for the family. But that does not mean that the mother is not also a provider. In some ways, she can help in this area as well. As we look at Proverbs 31, a great chapter of the Bible, many Mother's Day sermons have been delivered out of this text. You heard it this morning in our scripture reading, but I want to look at one verse from that chapter. Proverbs 31, verse 15, as the proverb here speaks about the traits of a godly woman. And here we find these words. It says, she gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. Now, some of you moms may be thinking, man, it'd be really nice, wouldn't it, to have some servant girls around to help a little bit. But we see here that this woman provided for her children. We see that she also worked. We see that she made linen garments. She sold them, and her trading was profitable. So she was a very busy lady, and so that may give us some insight as to why she had some servant girls, because she would buy property, plant vineyards, and all that. She was just a real busy woman. But the main way that she provides is by making sure that her children's needs are met. We see in this proverb that they have adequate clothing. She doesn't worry about the cold for them. She makes sure that they have enough food to sustain them for the day. And so to the moms that are here today, let me ask you a question. Are you providing for your children? Are you providing for your children? I'm not asking you if they have an iPad, an iPhone, designer jeans and or a $100 pair of sneakers, but are you providing for their basic needs, their physical needs? Do they have the proper food, the proper clothing? Are you concerned about their physical well-being? Now, I know most of you pretty well, and I'm pretty sure that most of you care for your kids. Now, I don't follow you around all day. I'm not in your home. But I'm guessing that most of you here today have a genuine concern for the physical well-being of your children. And that's a good thing in the eyes of God. And so continue to do that. But let me ask you this. Even more important than their physical well-being is this. Are you concerned about their spiritual well-being? We're told in Proverbs 31 that this woman is a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And do you know that a woman who fears the Lord wants her children to fear the Lord as well? So let me ask you, how are you doing when it comes to the spiritual life of your children if you're a mom? Have you invested all of your energy in the physical things? You know, taking care of them, making sure that the lunches are packed, making sure that the homework is done, making sure that they take their bath at least once a week, right? How many remember the day back in the day? Some of you are old enough, right, where you can remember Saturday night baths, right? Because Saturday was the night when you took a bath in 2 inches of water. And if you're really lucky, maybe you could squeak 3 inches if nobody, you locked the door, nobody got in and checked on you, because our water situation was very, very low. So we had to be very careful with that back in the day. But all of those things are good things, those physical things to care for your kids. But know this, your kid can be the sweetest smelling honor student and still end up in hell, because they don't know Christ, because they don't know Jesus. And I know that we cannot believe for our kids. How many of us, if we could, we could. We would believe for them, but we can't do that, can we? They need to have a faith of their own. They need to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus, a personal encounter with Christ, the living Christ themselves. We can't do that for them, but what we can do as parents is to guide them toward Jesus. We can do everything in our power to let them see Jesus, to point them to Jesus. They need to be consistently pointed to Jesus at every turn they take. And really, all of us need to do that, whether we're fathers or mothers or aunts or uncles. We all need to make spiritual things a top priority in the lives of our young people. And so if you have any influence in the area of young people, I pray that you do more than maybe just seeing that they're having a good time, having fun. But be concerned for their souls. Be concerned for spiritual things as well. Well, number two, the second thing I'd like us to consider is that when it comes to moms, is there humility? Now, obviously, there are some proud mamas out there. And I don't mean those mamas that are proud of their kids, but they're proud, right? They're arrogant. They're boastful. There are some moms like that. But for the most part, generally speaking, you tend to see a general humility in the area of motherhood. And you think about moms, think about my own mom, just she often gave up things. She sacrificed things that she could do or for herself for the sake of others, for the sake of us. And really that is at the core of humility, is being other-minded. When we look at the Proverb 31 there, we see that this woman not only cared for the needs of her kids, but she cared about the servant girls that were in her home. She cared about her husband. She had an other-mindedness. And really at the core of humility is being a person who is thinking about the needs of others before their own. We find this clearly spoken in Philippians 2. Let's look at that. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. The Apostle Paul here speaks about humility. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." And then if you know this passage, Paul goes on to talk about who? Jesus. He talks about the humility of Jesus. How Jesus didn't come to this earth and think about himself, but he came to this earth and thought about you and I. He thought about the need that we have, the need that we have to be forgiven, to be cleansed of sin. And so he came humbly to this earth, was obedient to God, obedient to even death on the cross, a humiliating cross, a torturous cross, a cruel cross, thinking not of himself, but thinking of others. This is the same mindset we're called to have as believers. And I think so often we see this in motherhood. There's a great humility that we see in many moms. So to the moms out there, another question is this. That is a beautiful sound, isn't it? Isn't that? Are you walking in humility? Are you walking in humility? This culture, makes it so hard for you moms to walk in humility. Do you know why? Because what are the messages we are consistently fed by the world? Here's some of the messages you hear every day. Put yourself first. Make sure you care for yourself first. You deserve A, B, and C. These are the messages that are constantly poured into your life. And be careful, because if you start to hear these messages and you start to believe these messages, eventually what will happen is you will be perpetually dissatisfied and discontent in this life. How so? Because as you pour out your life into your children, in the back of your mind, you'll be thinking, when is it going to be my time? And so you may scrub that floor, you may wash the dishes, you may change that diaper, but all the while, all these duties are not performed with joy, but they end up being performed with misery. And you may hide it with a smile. People may not know what's on the inside. You may think all is good, but you're actually despising the very things that God has called you to do as a mom. And if you ever get to that place, it's a very dangerous place to be. And unfortunately, some moms have gotten there. And what they've done is they've packed up and they've left the responsibilities that God has given them in search of the eternal Calgon bath. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying make sure your life is like that Energizer Bunny. Don't be so driven by duty that you never, ever rest. Please, 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 moms out there, get your rest. Even the Ten Commandments, what do we find? God has commanded a day where we rest. You may say, but I'm a mom, I just don't get any rest. Well, you may have to try to adjust some things on those other 6 days of the week so that you have time to rest. It's necessary to get the rest that God wants us to have. But the point is this. If you notice that your body is always going for others, but your heart is not filled with joy, then you need to read the story of Mary and Martha. And if you're really busy, then you may never get to the place where you read the story. So I'm going to read the story for you this morning. Let's open to Luke chapter 10. We'll have it on the screen. Luke 10, 38 to 42. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, this passage obviously applies to more than just mothers. It applies really to all of us and how we can all get caught up in busyness and service and forget the heart attitude that needs to be behind our service. It's easy for moms to get overwhelmed by busyness. And when that happens, what is the result? What usually tends to happen when we just get overwhelmed? Well, we become like Martha, don't we? We start pointing fingers, right? We start playing the blame game. We start singing the woe is me's. This is what happened here with Martha. But we need to remember this, that Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example. Was Jesus busy? Read the Gospels. Was Jesus a busy guy? Yes, he was. He was incredibly busy. But Jesus knew when to get away, didn't he? He knew when to get away. Why did he need to get away? What was so important about that? Did he need to connect with his inner child? Did he need to say, hey, John and Pete, just give me the beat. Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I want to get lost in your rock and roll. Just let me just drift away. Was that the mentality of Jesus? No, he wanted to get alone so he could be with the Father. He wanted communion with the Father. He wanted communion with the one who would give him strength and joy to live the life that he was called to live. He came to be a servant, to be obedient to everything the Father wanted him to do. And he knew he had to be alone with the Father. He needed that. And moms, my prayer for you is that you have communion with the Father, that you get alone with the Father, that you don't let the busyness, the responsibilities that you have rob you of that sweet joy and communion that you need with God. You need to be alone with God, not just alone with yourself in a Calgon bath. Now that's good. If you can get that, that's good. Bubble bath is good, but let me tell you, alone with God is even better. The third thing I want you to see today, this is really for all of us who are here today, and that is we're called to honor moms. Again, we find this command in the Ten Commandments. We also find it in the New Testament. When Paul writes to the early church, he writes to the Ephesians and says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And to the Colossians, he says, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." And so to those of you who are, quote, children, we've got a few here. Technically children, you're still under the authority, right, of your mom. You're called to obey your mom, aren't you? Not only honor, but also obey her. And as you do, you need to understand this, that there is no such thing as a perfect mom. Your mom is a fallen creature, just like you are a fallen creature and I am a fallen creature. We're all in need of God's grace and mercy, but God has established the family. The family was God's idea from the get-go. It's his plan, and it's a good plan. And the best way to bless your mom is not to buy her flowers, though I'm sure she would love that if you did that today. Maybe bought her some flowers. That would be really good. The best way to honor your mom is, you know how? You know how? Obey her. Do what she says without complaining. Just obey her. That will make her heart so full of joy. Because when you obey your mom, because you know that is what God wants from you, that shows that you have a not only a love for your mom, but a healthy reverence for God, which is a good thing. For those of you who may be, quote, older today, maybe you're no longer, quote, under your mother's roof and under her authority like you were as a child, you're also called to honor your mom. And we see here that honor really has no age limit. It doesn't matter how old your mom is, you're still to give her that honor that she deserves. You're to keep loving her, holding her in high regard. And for those of you who may have lost your mom, you can still honor her. You know how you can do that? Just simply by the way you speak of her. Do you speak highly of her when you talk about her? Or do you maybe badmouth her? It's important to honor her. Honor her for the life that she lived, the things that she did. For those of you who maybe have had a mother who is maybe not the best example, maybe some of you here today had a mom who abandoned you, or maybe did things that just broke your heart. You know what you're called to do? Honor her. Honor her. The Ten Commandments do not say, honor your mom if she's faithful and good. And if she's not, then kick her to the curb. Right? It doesn't say that. It says, just simply honor your mother. If she's your mother, you need to honor her. I was chatting with B-Rad this week, and some of you know his testimony, his story of his life, and I asked if it was okay if I shared some details about his life, and he said it'd be okay to do that. I think it's very fitting for today. But B-Rad was born in Canada, and he was born weighing in at 1 pound, 12 ounces. And the reason he was born that small was because his mother took a drug called, probably won't pronounce it right, but it's called aminopterin, I guess that's how you say it. And this drug was used back in the, when were you born, 1960-something? 63, so it was used back in that day as a form of abortion. Well, obviously this was not successful because, praise God, B-Rad is here today. But there were some effects. There were some effects to that drug. I don't know if you've noticed, but he's just a little bit shorter than most of us. And praise God, he's such a good sport. He's such a good sport. We joke all the time about him being a little guy, and he's real good with that. But obviously, he's been through a lot physically. Many surgeries, right? Some skull surgeries and whatnot. And B-Rad admits that when he found out, what had happened, he struggled with a little bit of anger because this was, let's face it, it was attempted murder. And sadly, this happens in our nation, not attempted murder, but actual murder, 3,000 times every day in our nation. And people are more sophisticated now, right? There's no longer drugs. We use scalpels and things like that to go through with the murder, sadly. But he confesses that he was a bit angry toward his mom when he found out. Now, B-Rad does not know where his mom is today. He's tried to locate her, so he doesn't know if she's even alive anymore. So how can someone like B-Rad, or maybe you know someone who's just been abandoned by their mom, how can he still honor his mom today? Well, one way is by not speaking evil of her. You see, if he were to go around and badmouth her with malice in his heart to everybody he saw, that would not be honoring to her. I also asked B-Rad, who's in my office, and I said, if she were to walk through the door right now and sit next to you in the chair next to you, what would you do? What would you say? And he said, I don't know for sure what I do, but I hope that I would forgive her. And you know what? There's no better way to honor someone than to forgive them. To forgive them. Because let's face it, we've all sinned. When we think about our sin against God, it's huge. It's huge. Someone has once said this, no one could offend us to the degree and to the amount that we have offended God. You see, our sin against God is so much greater in number and degree than what anyone could ever do to us, even attempting to kill us. It doesn't compare. Let me ask you, do you need to extend some forgiveness today? Is there any anger, any strife, any bitterness, any division between you and maybe your mom or maybe your dad or maybe a sister, brother, or friend, co-worker, anyone? As a believer, again, we need to remember the incredible forgiveness that God has granted to us, and we're told to do what? Just as Christ has forgiven us, so we too must forgive one another. So may today be a day of honor. Number one, honor your mom. Number two, honor one another. And most importantly, honor God. The best way you can honor God is to love the one that he has sent for you, Jesus Christ, to repent of your sins and to embrace him as your Lord and your Savior. Let's pray. Father, today we again thank you for our mothers. And Lord, again, we know that there is no perfect mom. But Lord, we are so grateful for all that they endure, all that they go through, for the well-being of their children. And Lord, today I pray that you would bless each and every mom that is here, Lord, for the struggles that they face, the weariness they face, the tiredness they face, even the pain that many feel today. Oh God, just wash them and cover them in your love. Lord, that they would just feel so warmed by your love and by your presence today, that would just be the source of their joy. Father, help us to be people who honor our mothers, to honor every mother. Lord, help us to be people who honor one another, who look to the needs of others above ourselves. Help us to keep looking to Jesus, who is our great example, who laid down his life humbly and thought of us as he went to the cross. Lord, we thank you for your word today. Help us to be obedient to the things that we see and that we read. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll have a song.